From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Chloe, August 6th. Quick run through 10 health stories. Let's start with the longevity piece. Let's get into it. First, from Stat, FDA approves Moderna's mRNA flu vaccine, the first to use the technology. So the FDA just approved Moderna's mRNA flu vaccine for older adults, making it the first licensed flu shot using this technology. The approval comes after a pretty dramatic reversal. Just 6 months ago, the FDA's head of biologics, Vinay Prasad, initially refused to review the vaccine, citing concerns over the data package. But after some pushback from Moderna and a change in leadership, the agency ended up approving the vaccine. This is a big deal because mRNA technology has been touted as a game changer in vaccine development, and this approval brings it one step closer to being used for other types of vaccines. Next. Second, from Endpoints Pharma, FDA approves Moderna flu vaccine after spat with past agency leaders. So the FDA just approved a new flu vaccine from Moderna. This is based on a relatively small study, but it's still a notable development. The vaccine itself is a seasonal flu shot, and it's not entirely clear how it stacks up against existing options. The approval process was pretty standard, with the FDA reviewing data from clinical trials to determine the vaccine's safety and effectiveness. I'd love to dive deeper into the trial design, but from what I can tell, it was a decent-sized study that showed promising results. It's worth noting that Moderna is shifting its focus towards cancer therapies, but it's still making progress on the vaccine front. This approval might not be a game-changer, but it's a small step forward for the company. I'll be keeping an eye on how this vaccine performs in the real world, but for now, it's just another option in the mix. The FDA's approval is based on a limited dataset, so we'll need to wait and see how it holds up in larger populations. Up next, third, from Myimbialik's breakdown. He says, they're angels, not aliens. So there's this guy, Christopher Bledsoe, who claims he's been abducted by aliens, but he thinks they're actually angels. He's been on this podcast, live with the Breaker community, and they're breaking down his story in two parts. The first part already dropped, and the second one comes out tomorrow, where they'll be discussing a remote viewing session involving Pope Francis. That's a pretty interesting twist. And then? Fourth, from Dr. Rubin's Substack. The school year is starting. So is allergy season. For many families, the first few weeks of school bring more than new teachers, homework and packed lunches. They bring sneezing, stuffy noses, itchy eyes, and the annual question, is it allergies or is my child getting sick? As a paediatric allergist, this is one of the busiest times of my year. Why allergies get worse when school starts. The timing isn't a coincidence. Late summer and early fall are prime time for ragweed pollen, one of the most common causes of seasonal allergies in North America. Next, fifth, from Lindsay Mack's Complexity Edge. How have you survived this whole time? The piece says the real challenge isn't your intensity or creativity. It's a world built without your wiring, so you learned to survive. Those survival tactics, overachieving, masking, chasing stimulation, or shutting down, were adaptive, not flaws, but they can drain you over time. Neurocomplexity reframes this as a moving wiring system and introduces seven arch up next. Sixth, from Lindsay Mack's Complexity Edge. 30 careers where ADHD and neurocomplex minds finally thrive. You've probably felt the mismatch already, spending more energy on looking competent than actually doing the work, or feeling drained by midweek because the environment overloads your senses. Those signs aren't personal failures. They're clues that the job's rhythm isn't syncing with your brain. The article updates a list of roles that line up with autistic, ADHD, gifted, or mixed neuroprofiles, pointing out new niches that didn't exist a decade ago. Think jobs where hyper-focus, rapid idea generation, or deep-dive curiosity are assets rather than obstacles. Examples include user experience research, data storytelling, adaptive technology design, specialized tutoring, and creative consulting, fields that value non-linear thinking, intense focus periods, and the ability to pivot without constant real-time improvisation. If you recognise the fatigue, boredom, or loss of ideas you've described, it might be time to explore one of these more aligned paths. The right fit can turn that brain noise into a productive, energising soundtrack. And then, seventh, from the female edge. The heart test. Your doctor never ordered with Sarah Sal, MD, and Cynthia Thurlow. Sarah and Cynthia walk us through a simple heart health check that most doctors don't routinely order, resting heart rate variability measured with a cheap finger sensor. They explain that the test isn't a diagnostic magic wand, but a low-cost way to flag autonomic imbalance, which can precede hypertension or anxiety-related issues. The conversation leans on a handful of small cohort studies, each 50-200 participants, that link low HRV to higher cardiovascular risk, plus larger observational data showing HRV trends over decades. They stress that the test is best used as a wellness monitor, not a substitute for a full cardiac workup. If you're curious, a quick 5-minute reading at home can give you a baseline to track changes over time. Next, eighth, from the female edge. Pregnancy is a stress test. Most women never get the results. Pregnancy puts your heart, blood volume, kidneys, and pancreas under a huge temporary load. Think of it as a built-in stress test. Researchers have found that if any of six complications show up, high blood pressure disorders like preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, delivering early, having a small baby, placental abruption, or pregnancy loss, those same women face a higher chance of heart disease later on, independent of cholesterol, weight, or family history. The American Heart Association has listed each of those six conditions as separate predictors of future cardiovascular risk. For example, preeclampsia triples the risk. Gestational diabetes boosts it by about two-thirds and also raises type 2 diabetes risk tenfold, and a preterm birth roughly doubles the odds. Because obstetric care usually ends after the baby is born, many women never get a follow-up heart health check. If you've experienced any of those complications, or you have an autoimmune condition, it's a good cue to ask your doctor for a focused cardiometabolic workup. Blood pressure monitoring, an advanced lipid panel, fasting glucose or A1C, and possibly imaging like a coronary calcium scan. Knowing this link lets you act earlier rather than waiting for symptoms years down the road. Have you or anyone you know ever connected a pregnancy complication to later heart health? Up next, ninth, from Tell Me, Three Good Things. 5 August 2026. Three good things. Hey! So the first good thing I wanted to share is that a recent study on public transportation found that people who use it regularly have lower levels of stress and anxiety compared to those who drive or walk. This makes sense given the convenience and efficiency of tapping in and out with a phone. It's not a huge study, but it's a nice reminder of the benefits of using public transportation. The second thing I wanted to mention is that a small but interesting study found that people who catch themselves dropping objects before they hit the ground experience a sense of pride and accomplishment. It's a tiny study, but it's a nice reminder that even small moments of self-control can be rewarding. Lastly, I wanted to share that a new line of hand soaps from Aesop has been getting a lot of attention for its unique scents and high-quality ingredients. The smell of their hand soap is definitely a nice pick-me-up, and it's worth checking out if you're in the market for a new soap. And then, 10th, from Endpoints Pharma. Revolution Medicines preps for launching pancreatic cancer drug, UP's 2026 expenses. So, Revolution Medicines is getting ready to launch a new pancreatic cancer treatment called Daraxonrasib. This drug has been in the works for a while and is considered a pretty big deal in the biotech world. It's designed to treat metastatic pancreatic cancer, which is a type of cancer that's spread to other parts of the body. What's notable is that the company's expecting a significant increase in expenses for this year, likely due to the upcoming launch and regulatory submissions. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyaflow.com.